Ask me the title to the sermon. And I said, well, I'm going to read from chapter 4 in the book of Romans and read about 5 verses of that 4th chapter. And the subject that I will attempt to pursue is not faith, but Christ. Not faith, but Christ. Now, several years back, when I was a whole lot younger, folks used to say, that fellow will never amount to nothing. And I've been determined all these years not to disappoint him. But I hope that I don't disappoint you. Let me read now those 5 verses. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Remember, I'm going to talk about this. Not faith, but Christ. Now, God Almighty, who our brother so ably lifted up, described, and brought before our very eyes here this evening, the true and the living God. God, over all and above all, he reckons the believing man as having all righteousness. I'm right there so far. God reckons the believing man as having all righteousness, though he has not done any. I'm right there. And through his faith, and though his faith is not righteousness, in this sense, it is that faith is counted to us for or in order to righteousness. That we are justified by faith. Now, faith does not justify as a work or as a moral act or as a piece of goodness or as a gift of the Spirit, but as a bond, but as a vital union, but as a connection between us and the substitute. Now, the person and the work of Christ for us is the object of true faith. The Spirit's work in us is that which produces this faith. Now, over in Exodus 17, and maybe verse 7, but somewhere along there it talks about God speaking to Moses to smite the rock that the water might gush forth. Now, without the touch of the rod, the water would not have gushed forth. Is that right? Yet it was the rock and not the rod that contained water. Now, the bringer of the sacrifice to the temple or the tabernacle was to lay his hand upon the head of the sheep or the bullock. Otherwise, the offering would not be accepted for him. It was by way of identification that this bullock, this lamb, this sheep stands in my place, in my stead, my sacrifice, dying for me. He was to lay his hands upon the offering, or he would not be accepted for him. Now, the laying on of the hands was not the same as the victim on which the hands was laid. The serpent-bitten Israelite was to look at the uplifted servant of brass in order to be healed. But his looking was not the brazen serpent. It was not his act of looking that healed him, but the object to which he looked. So faith is not our righteousness. Faith is not our righteousness. It joins us to the righteous one and makes us a partaker of his righteousness. Now, by a natural figure of speech, faith is often magnified as something great, whereas it is actually and really nothing but our consenting to be saved by another. Now, its supposed greatness is derived from the greatness of the object which it grasps or lays a hold of. So faith is not our righteousness. Faith is not our physician. As a matter of fact, it only brings us to the physician. It's not even our medicine. It only administers the medicine which was divinely prepared by him who healeth all our diseases. Our faith is but our touching Jesus. The woman who was in that crowd, who desired to touch Jesus, and she couldn't get through for the mass of human beings crowded around our Lord. But finally, she made it through, and she touched the hem of his garment. When she touched the hem of his garment, the Lord said, "Who touched me? I felt virtue being drawn out of me." Now, in reality, when we feel like that we have touched Jesus, in reality, it's his touching us, is what it is. Faith is not our Savior. It was not faith that was born at Bethlehem's manger. It was not faith that loved the Lord and gave himself for us. It was not faith that bore our sins on the tree in his own body. It was not faith that died and rose again. Faith is one thing, but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is another thing. Now, let's not confound or mix up the two. That happens many times along the way. Let us not confound them or ascribe them to a poor, imperfect act of man, that which belongs exclusively to the Son of God. Faith is not perfection, yet only by perfection, either our own or another, can we be saved. Now that which is imperfect cannot justify. An imperfect faith could not in any sense be a righteousness if it is to justify. It must be perfect. Faith must be perfect if it's to justify. It must be like the Lamb, without spot and without blemish. An imperfect faith, now you're like this, an imperfect faith may connect us with a perfection of another, but it cannot of itself do anything. Either in protecting us from the wrath to come or divine acquittal before God Almighty. All faith here on this earth is imperfect. But the believer's security and hope and comfort is this. It matters not how weak or how feeble or poor our faith may be. If it touches the perfect one, what shall I say? All is well. The touch draws out the virtue that's in him, and we're saved by the grace of God. The slightest imperfection of our faith, if faith were to be our righteousness, would be fatal to our ever hope. God has asked and provided a perfect righteousness, but he nowhere that I know of asks or expects a perfect faith. A broken pitcher can convey water to the traveler's thirsty lips. So a feeble and weak faith will connect us with the righteousness of the Son of God. The faith that can only cry, that poor weak faith, which all of us are to a measure familiar with. Poor weak faith that can only cry, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, will do. Faith is not satisfaction to God. In no sense or no aspect can faith be said to satisfy God or to satisfy the holy, inflexible, unerring law of God Almighty. Yet, if it is to be our faith, it must satisfy. Being imperfect, it cannot satisfy. It cannot satisfy not only because it's imperfect, but because it is human. Faith cannot be our sin bearer. That which satisfies must be capable of bearing our guilt and our shame. And that which bears our guilt and our shame must be perfect. But divine faith, nothing but divine faith, could accomplish that. But faith in itself cannot accomplish propitiation. Faith cannot pay no payment to satisfy our debt. Faith cannot wash away our sins. Faith cannot provide no righteousness. Faith is not Christ or the cross of Christ. Faith is not the altar. Faith is not the mercy seat. Faith is not the incense. Faith does not work, but effects a work that's already done 2,000 years ago. Huh? Faith does not wash, but leads us to the fountain filled with blood that washes us and makes us clean every whit. Not a flaw, not a wrinkle, every whit. Oh, faith goes on. Always at the cross. You hear these guys saying, I read it sometime. Well, I said, Jesus can do all. He's done all he can do. Let's get on with it and do something else. Faith goes on. Always at the cross. Always there. Where will you go? And to whom will you go? Faith. Faith's always like the beggar with an outstretched hand. Always taken, but never given. Huh? Faith is never the rich man's gold. It's always the cable, never the anchor. Always the knocker, but never the door. Not the palace or the table. Always the handmaid and not the mistress. It's the window that lets the light in. Not faith, but Christ. Faith has no worthiness in itself. It joins us to infinite worthiness. The infinite worthiness of Him in whom the Father delights and whom the Father presents us perfect in the perfection of Him. Faith is not that foundation-laden Zion. Faith only brings us to that foundation, grounded and settled, that we may not be moved from the hope of the gospel. It receives the good news. And the last thing I want to say now is that faith never leads us away from the cross to which it first led us to. It's not faith. It's Christ. He's our all and in all. Not justified by faith, in order to righteousness. All right, thank you for your kindness listening to me.